Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
What is going on, guys? Ivan is not here today, so I'll be taking over as host. Hope everyone's having a good night. Despite the game that we just witnessed, and we're going to break down everything from start to finish, the penalty shootout, and everything in between. But thankfully, I'm not alone tonight because I don't think I could do it alone tonight. I have my main man, Chris, here. Chris, how are you tonight, brother?
Very annoyed. I mean, I'm sure you're going to hear me throw a lot of stuff that I didn't like today or other games. You know, so it's going to be a ranty podcast tonight. But
yeah, we'll
see how it goes.
Yeah, I know. So there's a lot to break down, honestly. But we'll start with the 11. I think if you have it up, I'll give you a couple minutes to try to bring it up for us so you can read it off to us. Looking at it initially, I mean, I was okay with it. It kind of just seemed like it was the best that we had at the moment, despite Henry's injury. I understand Jardinet didn't want to really put Diego for a full 90 because he just came back from injury. That's more understandable. But I don't think that I think people could get too mad over the lineup. I think it was, like I said, the best that we had at the moment.
Oh yeah, I'm not mad at the lineup. I think you kind of when you see it on paper, you don't really question it. But there's some movements that Brian Rodriguez and Dejas, Leo Suarez were doing that I was just not a fan of, brother. I don't know how you feel, but there's times where you saw Brian Rodriguez out there as an attacking midfielder. You saw Sendejas on the left. You saw Leo Suarez on the left. You just didn't really know what was going on early on in the game. And I was not a fan of that at all. You know, like, to me, they're just, I don't know, man. Jardinel on paper looked like a really good coach, but I'm starting to really have doubts. Maybe it's just a lot of experimenting because of this tournament. I don't know. But, man, like you said, when it came to the starting 11, you don't really have an issue with it. But once you started seeing them on the field, that's when you kind of start questioning.
Right, yeah. No, so I completely agree with you there. For moments, you've seen Brian Rodriguez kind of pair up with Quiñones as a second striker. Then other moments, you see him as the left wing. Sometimes I saw him on the right wing at one point. And then you see Sendejas and Leo kind of switch off from that left wing to the 10 position multiple times. And I guess to give maybe Jardine a little bit of credit here, maybe he was trying to switch things up because things weren't really going our way. Or we weren't really, you know, finishing our chances. And that's another thing we'll bring up because I think this team lacks a lot of final decision-making, final third decision-making. And that needs to improve once we go back to Mexico and return to league play. It's just that these MLS teams, and not even just the Nashville game, but the Chicago game as well, there was a lot of moments where you could have really taken the shot from outside the box. And we have players that are capable of doing this, and Dejas is capable, Leo's most definitely capable. And it just seems like we're not really taking advantage of most of the opportunities that are given to us from little situations like this. And it's, you know, just take a shot at it. You never know. A rebound here, rebound there. How many goals have we seen like that throughout the duration of the League Cup? Just one little bounce can trickle in. And it just, you know, makes the defenders keep guessing, keeps the goalie on its toes, and it just adds a different variety of I guess, attacking game plan for yourself when you do it. But if we're just going to keep passing, you know, between each other 20 times just for a cross, only to end up being a goal kick, then what are we really playing here, you know?
My biggest issue is when they're inside the box. Wow, what's up with these passes when you're wide open? And that, to me, comes from a coaching thing because it's like, why so many passes? We didn't see this with Solari. We didn't see this with Dano, right? So to me, it's a coaching thing. Why is it when Sendejas is inside the box or Quiñones or whoever, you know, and the first thing they think of is passing into the next guy? No, shoot it. You're right. Wide open. Right. Like everyone can see it that you're wide open. So don't tell me it's a, and it's not one guy. It's everyone, you know, like I don't know if they're saying this guy needs to score. You know, maybe the coach is saying, oh, if you see this guy's open, like, go, let him shoot it. No, like, very frustrating. You know, like I said, when you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, it's a team. And then you see, like, these weird movements, and it's just, you know, like, me personally, like I said, I'm very annoyed of the result, and we'll get into it right now. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners that are waiting for us to really touch on the ending of that game. But to me, it's just, man, like, something needs to be fixed in ASAP, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely understand. So we'll just talk about the first half of right now. What did you like and what didn't you like in that first half for us?
Like I said, man, when it comes to being inside the box, that's what I just didn't like. It was one of those things where I think we've seen it in other games too. You know, the St. Louis game, we do score a lot of goals, but you could score a lot more goals, you know? And personally, I'm just not a fan of the decision making. You're controlling the ball. It's like I was telling my dad, the goal's gonna come any minute now. And then you get the opportunity and it's like you're hesitant. Why are you hesitating? Like I said earlier, you know, like, well, why are you hesitating? It's just, you know, awful. And then like I don't know, man. I like the little things that the midfield does. I don't know if you agree with it, but I like what the short passes that Fidalgo and Jonah do a lot. And that's one thing that I noticed right away from this team. And but once it gets to the top, you know, once we come into the attack, it's like we're focusing way too much on that. And I'm not a fan of that at all, you know?
No, yeah. I think and if you want to shine any light of any things, I think that it's good that Jonathan Dos Santos is continuing his good form. Fidalgo with the same thing. I think that they were trying to mix things up. In that first half, kind of, you know, slot in the pass here, kind of switch the ball here, kind of do a little cheeky through ball there. They were trying to break down, because let's be honest, I think Nashville just came out with the game plan that they're just going to sit back and counter us the whole game. It just seems that we were having a difficult time breaking down that wall, because we had a difficult time against Chicago, and Nashville was like, well, you know, if they could just hold them to a goal, why can't we? We seem to be the better team, so we could probably implement this plan a little bit better, and that's what they came out and did. And, you know, for the majority of the game, it was working. Quick counterattack here. They obviously know that our fullbacks like to push up a lot, so they would take advantage of that. They got fast players. And that's when, you know, you saw them look a little bit dangerous here and there, was when on the counterattack. And it's just due to the fact that we're pushing up because we're trying to break down the wall. But like you said, if we're just passing here, passing there, you're just giving them more time to set up, in a sense, and we're not taking any risks. And we're doing the same things over and over again, so it's become a little bit more predictable and easier for them to stop any sort of sense of attack that we got going on.
Another thing that I wasn't a fan of, I'm not a fan of, is Quiñones playing the nine, man. I think this guy needs to play wide, bro. Like,
yeah.
I know we had this conversation. I don't know if you were involved, but I know me and Ivan did. When the rumors came out, and they weren't official rumors yet, they were just kind of like, oh, America's interested, but there's a long list. For me, it was one of those like, oh, well, how do you play him? Well, it's going to be based on the formation, right? And we're going to play with one striker, right? He's not the guy that has to play there. He's the guy that has to play alongside him, second striker, or on the wing, right? We've seen it. When he played with Henry, we see the difference. One pulls his mark, one is wide open. Right? Because you're going to respect both of them. Because if you don't respect both of them, like, you're going to get scored on.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, okay, you see the reports, they're not looking to bring anyone in. Well, there has to. I'm going to sound hypocritical, because if you follow me, you know that I'm not necessarily a guy that says, put in the academy players. And I'm not even saying that, you know. But if one is down, it's the next man up. If you're a football fan, American football fan, that's the mentality, right? One guy's out, the next guy up. You don't just put someone else in there and you see the struggle, you know? For me, it's like, okay, who's next? Mozolito, okay, I'm not a fan of him, but if he's next man up, he's more natural into that position, to that system, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's not the guy, right, if you don't believe in him, go bring in someone else. Right. There's other youngsters or whoever that you could bring in, maybe a veteran Mexican player that could come in, like a in Saralde. Remember when we brought him in? It was like, why are we bringing this guy in? But it was for death, for those emergency moments that we needed. Maybe we need that right now, right? You see, to me, Quiñones just can't play the nine, bro. Like,
we said this last time too on the podcast. I think I mentioned it where if you look at your available players and if they don't fit what you're originally trying to do, you have to change it up. Don't force the issue. And clearly it just wasn't working for us. No balls were really getting to him. He was being double teamed. He couldn't really get open space to create anything. He just didn't look like himself throughout the whole 90 minutes, to be honest with you. And like you said, it's a problem, but that also just goes back to bad, I guess, squad management from Baños and not realizing that we only have one true striker on this team, and that's Henry Martin. And the guy's not invincible, right? The guy's playing game in, game out, getting called up, playing 60, 70 minutes there, then coming back, then, you know, playing this game and then playing that game. Like, the guy's due for an injury sometime or another, right? Like, he's not going to... He's not immortal.
That's Leguía. We've seen that, too. You see him banged up. You had to put in Viñas, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had to rush him back in, and you see that he's not gonna be the same player, right?
Exactly.
And he's not young. Like, he's in his prime, but he's going to start declining any minute now because that's just how sports is, right?
Of course, yes.
Knock on wood, it doesn't happen, right? But usually, once you start hitting your 30s, you start declining little by little, and then you're an older player.
Why are we not trying to bring in someone as an emergency? You know, you talk to the player, someone like, listen, you know, you're not going to play many minutes, but when we need you, we're going to need you to kind of, you know, give it your all, whether it be a youngster or a veteran, you know, either or works, but you got to have someone there, man.
If it's a youngster, right? Let's say it is a youngster, someone from the academy. Cool. Mm-hmm. They use these minutes to develop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, they might not be the it, right, for the future, whatever. But maybe they do turn out to be good because they
get to that. You never know unless you give them a chance.
And it's an emergency. Like for me, for the longest time, when Viña's right, I would be very clear. I would say I'm not a believer in him. When there's competition like that and someone that one of your quote-unquote starters or your bench isn't performing, you got to bring in that competition from somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not spending, cool, use the academy. Maybe the academy players don't turn out to be good. It happens, you know. Oh well,
they're not all gonna be good,
but you gotta put pressure, you know, gotta go put them out there because then you get into these weird situations where this guy's failing, and it's like, well, of course, he's gonna fail because it's like there's no pressure for like, hey, you can lose your spot, right? And obviously, I don't think Henry's ever gonna lose his spot, but in this situation where you put Quiñones out of place and maybe we're not bringing in anybody because Cabecita returns. That's still bad because
that's bad management.
Why are we waiting for someone? What if he comes back from injury and he's not the same player?
Exactly.
Now we have a need, right? So it's very annoying. Like I said, I'm not necessarily mad, but it gets annoying because you see the where the mistakes come from, and you know that there's maybe a solution out there. Right. And maybe it's a risk, but it's like it's out there that you try it out. If it doesn't work out, cool. It doesn't work out. It's not like it's a long-term project anyways. Right. And if it does end up being good, cool, we have another option. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I agree with all your points there. But anyway, so the first 45-minute pass, we don't really get much going. You know, Nacho's not really threatening. We're not really threatening, whatever. We go into the second half. Now, there was a moment in time where I think this happened in the Chicago. In the Columbus game, we seem like America had everything under control. And then out of nowhere, Columbus makes a couple changes and, you know, we get scored on, and then it seems like we just fluster a little bit. I kind of saw similar things tonight. I think that the Nacho kind of adjusted a little with one or two subs that came in. And then shortly after, you know, the set piece was just defended terribly. And, you know, we get scored on, and now we're down 1-0. So from that moment on, how did you see the team and why did it cost us so much to kind of just switch into gear and kind of start playing America football?
I think Diego Valdez changed everything when he came in. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think it's there's this chemistry that comes with Henry Valdez, and Quiñones is going to end up building up with it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a flop or we were lied to, like Ivan tweeted. Yeah, it's way too early, and let's be honest, he's also showed very, very good stuff too. We can't sit here and just highlight that. Which is funny coming from me, because I do react like that sometimes too. but I think Diego Valdez, you know, I think you also saw less of the hesitation once the goal happened, when he came inside the box, you know, or out even outside. I think we started seeing them more loose. And it's the frustrating thing at the same time, because it's like, if you guys know this is how we win games, why don't you do it off the bat, you know, from the start? And I think Diego Valdez, you know, if we would have passed, he would have started next game. Maybe we would have seen him as a second striker, right? And Quiñones a little bit more ahead instead of the Cam. But, you know, right now, you know, Jardine has a lot to think about. You know, maybe it's a bad thing, maybe it's a good thing, but he has a lot to think about. And luckily for us, the transfer window is also open. So we have to make a move, you know. We talk about set pieces, right? The goal, where it comes from. Well, now this is where Baños and Jardine needs to open their eyes and realize that that's always been a problem. And we're in need of a big center back that could clear those headers, because the first goal comes from, it was Cáceres' mark, right?
It was Cáceres' mark, yes. Cáceres
and Malagón's fault in that goal. We're being
I was honest, just about to bring that up, right? I was going to say, Malagón who came fault out on that goal? Because I have two. Yeah. I was going to say Cáceres and Malagón. I think Malagón gets caught sleeping there. I think if he probably maybe put a punch on that, he probably could have cleared that, honestly.
He could have came out. And then it's not fair we don't call that out when Ochoa has always been criticized for that, right? And that's our last legit starting goalkeeper. Like,
but it's just like, we know this has been an Achilles heel for us. We know we've been bad recently in recent years at defending set pieces, and that's something that we should have been working on throughout the entire tournament. And unfortunately, we get caught sleeping once again, and that's how they concede it. And that's how we concede. I'm sorry. It's just annoying at this point, because we obviously know the clear problem. The clear problem is there. Like, everyone can see it. Opposing fans can see it. Rivals fans can see it. My second grade teacher can see it. But it's just everyone. Like, why can't we fix it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is the most noticeable thing since we last won our championship. Since Bruno Valdez got that injury, right? We haven't been able to fix that. Because he didn't come back the same. And no one has ever been able to fix that. Cáceres, that's not his specialty. And Israel Reyes, that's not his specialty either. And then Nestor Araujo, right? We'll talk about the second goal.
We'll get into that in a little bit later.
Yeah, but yeah. He's also, and then Emilio Lara, like, well, I don't want to, like, highlight him, because he, to be fair to him, the goals that he have, that has been his fault, has been when he's at right back. But I would assume that also he's not good in the set pieces either, because they always get winners back, you know? So I think it's fair to assume that he's also not a solution there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very frustrating thing, you know, like,
of course.
And then, I don't know, man, like, I think Puma Pimentel was better than them at that, you know, and he wasn't necessarily tall, Topo Valenzuela, right, or another guy, who were also short. So it's not like I'm going to sit here and say, oh, it's because they're short. No, there's other guys that were shorter and were better at this type of defending when it came to set pieces. And at one point, I kind of wanted to blame coaching, say, you know what? Piojo isn't training them in this in practice. Solari isn't either. Tano isn't either. Tano's too offensive. Maybe they don't even focus on the defense. They just say, we're going to score. But this is what? The fourth?
Yeah, fourth coach.
Where's the same problem? Mm-hmm. I would like to assume that they do practice this, and simply they're just not good at it.
Yeah, no, they're just good. Nope. It's concerning. It's super concerning, especially when you look down the line, and when we start playing Ligia and we start playing teams with tall forwards, tall center backs, it's not gonna end well for us. Unless we kind of figure out how to mark everything. But okay, so we're down 1-0. You know, Nashville scores. They're kind of on a little high. We make a change. We take out Leo Suarez. We bring on Diego Valdez. Just talking about that change specifically. Did you like that change, or would you have rather seen Leo be pushed to the right wing take out Sendejas and then bring in Diego to play the 10.
I wanted to take out Brian Rodriguez, personally. Okay. Because I felt his strength was usually his dribbling down. He wasn't doing that. Okay. He was all over the place and wasn't necessarily doing it.
But then Brian passed to the left wing when Diego came in, which is on the left, right? So
they moved him to the left.
Correct. Yes, when Diego.
I just think you could have put Sendejas there, and I think
on the left
Sendejas was also having a bad game. Well, in the Necaxa, he kind of played a little bit to the left. Right. That's why.
But you just alluded to it, though. I think Sendejas was having a bad game. I don't think.
Yeah, he's been having bad games.
Right. Exactly. Honest. So that's why I'm saying, like, why would you take out Leo Suarez and not Sendejas? Because I think Leo Suarez, even though he wasn't really doing much, I think he still kind of provided a little different element. He still gave you, you know, a free kick specialist there. You still have him on the field. You know,
that in left form. I can see what you're saying.
So that's why I questioned the sub a little bit. Why? But whatever. It doesn't matter at this point, right? The game's over. But I just wanted to get your two cents on that. If you felt that was the right sub, or we probably should have taken someone else.
Like I said, in the moment, I kind of felt it should have been Brian Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. But you're making good points. Like I can't really. I think you could have taken out any three of them, and it's not necessarily a bad decision.
Yeah,
because then Layun comes in for Rodriguez, right?
For Chava.
No, for Chava. Who comes in for Brian? No one?
I think that's at the end when
Araujo.
So you touched on it earlier. Diego Valdez comes in and wow. We've missed our 10. We've missed our 10, and it really shows how the difference he has on the team when he's on the field. The first touch, the recognition of the field. Just where players are going to be, like, it's not a new system. Like, he knows what he's playing into, and it seems like he understood literally from the moment he stepped on the pitch. And little do you know, he finds a space in between the center backs, and boom, a beautiful cross by Kevin Alvarez, and it's 1-1 goal by Diego Valdez. So just give me your little two cents again on Diego Valdez and how, when he came in, America just completely changed.
He came in, completely changed. There was this play also where he passes it down to Sendejas. Perfect play inside the box. Sendejas misses it, which surprisingly, because usually he knows how to score those type of goals, so maybe that's also another argument on why Leo Suarez should have been in. But you also see the chemistry, right? Because I don't think Sendejas had those opportunities when he wasn't in there. You see the chemistry between
Valdez and everyone. It's just else. Known, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know what I'm gonna do. You know what I'm good at. I'm gonna pass it through here. You're gonna be there. And he was there. You know, he doesn't go in, but still, it was a good pass. And you kind of wish you had Quiñones, Henry, and Valdez for this tournament. Even Cabecita, right? Maybe you could have Cabecita too. But hopefully, everyone's,
I think,
healthy.
Maybe also that's why we're not so bummed out, because we know we didn't have our best, which is not an excuse, because we should have won the game regardless, no matter of the team, right? But I think that's another reason why I guess me and you maybe are on the minimum few of not being so upset about the result, is because we know this isn't the team that's going to show up in about 2 months from now. We're going to be completely different, hopefully for the better. Let me not go ahead and jinx it, but I think we're capable then much more than this. But yeah, so thank God Diego Valdez is back. It's a shame that we're not going to see him getting more minutes or an official competition for another probably two and a half weeks now. I just hope nothing regresses. I hope the whole team stays in shape or something. We got a couple of friendlies back in Mexico or something, because we need to keep this kind of in form, right? We can't stay stagnant. But okay, so there we go. 1-1. We have hope now. We really don't want this to go case, because anything can happen to penalties. And the next play that happens, and it's something that I think I was speaking to my father about, and why we miss Diego Valdez so much, and in the point that we brought up at the beginning of the podcast, Diego Valdez shoots from outside the box. Now, whether he's accurate at it or not, I think he more often than not gets more shots on goal. And that's something that Sendejas and Leo Suarez weren't doing. And if they were doing it, they weren't doing a very good job at it. Right. So what does Diego Valdez do? Right. In the 90th minute, he sees the opening and he just lets it rip. And what do you know? We get a penalty from it. It's just plays like that I'm saying that we need to start shooting from outside the box. And something that throughout this whole tournament, I don't think we've ever done. Maybe in the first game against St. Louis, but at that moment, the team was already knocked out, so you could have put in, you know, whatever, and we still would have done a good job. But it's just like, those are the moments that open the games up. Those are the moments that keep the defenders on their toes, that keep them guessing, like, oh my God, is he going to shoot? Is he looking for a pass? What is he doing? This, you know, we gotta you know, be more focused on him. But if I focus on him, I can't really focus on him. So it kind of confuses them, allows us to be more versatile with what we're trying to do. Let a few shots go, man. It doesn't matter. You never know what can happen. And in the 92nd minute, we get a penalty to kind of to send us to quarterfinals. And then so from that play on, I just want to talk about the referee in there for a second. Was the handball clear as day to you, or was there a need for there to be an 8-minute revision of the penalty?
Well, that's another thing. Like, we're gonna touch on this, like, in the end, right? We're gonna touch on all of this, but it's like, they give us 5 minutes and we play 10, like, because of the long ass review, and it's like, right. But there's no need for that. And then he's looking at different angles too, from behind, the front. It's like what are you looking at? Like, right. I know there's been questionable calls, right, or not calls in other games, right, where there's a clear mano or inside the box, and it's like, oh, it wasn't intentional. Well, what does that even mean? Like. Intentional, like if he's not blocking his body and his hands out there, that's a mano, you know, like, hey, they can't justify that. So for me, I was like, man, they're taking long, they're just looking for any excuse. Luckily we get it, you know, and like, it's just 8 minutes, you know, the game ended at the 100 and then they give us 5 minutes. Like, how does that make sense, right? Like, just bogus, bro. I don't know. I'm very annoyed of the whole thing. Like I said, like, I'm calming down, but still, it's just very annoying because you see how other games have gone, and it's just like, man.
So, thankfully, in that moment specifically, Diego Valdez says, no, Quiñones, go do it. I trust you. You can do this. And luckily for us, Quiñones slots it in perfectly. And we're up 2-1 in the 92nd minute. And we're 5 minutes away from advancing quarterfinals. And, you know, everything's looking good for us. You know, we knew we didn't play as good as we wanted to, but, you know, I think that at the end we deserve the win. And then, you know, to close out the game, Cardini decides to bring on Nestor Araujo to kind of, you know, get that 3-center-back partnership going, and, you know, just try to, you know, not to prevent, you know, a last-minute goal from Nashville, right? In the following play, Kevin Alvarez and Sendejas kind of double up on that right side. It seems like Sendejas loses the ball and Kevin Alvarez is nowhere to be found because he's so pushed up. The ball comes into the left side of the field and someone goes to mark. I forgot who gets to go mark him. But then Israel Reyes, I think it was Israel Reyes, who comes up like to meet him.
Okay, yeah.
On the right, on Malagon's right hand side. So now Israel is out of position, right? And now you like have
behind them.
Right, exactly. They have Cáceres and Araujo. And Araujo does not know where he's at that moment. Like, you watch that replay and he's looking like he doesn't know where to go, bro. What his positioning is, what is going on. My thing is, you have two center backs right there, one midfielder trailing. How does no one see that one guy running in and you're in the middle of three Americanistas and you score the goal? Like, how does that even happen?
It to be fair to Layun, he is trying. Because I think it's Layun or Cáceres. I'm not quite sure. I think it was Layun. He doesn't get there because he ends up being short. But to be honest, Araujo's looking at them right in front of him the whole time.
It's so bad.
And he reacts backwards instead of forward. Like, bro, if you see the guy's making a run in, you see the your defender, your partner is not catching up to him, go and get him, bro. If it goes over you, no one's necessarily going to blame you because the guy behind you is not your mark. The guy in front of you is, you know? At that moment, the guy in front of you is your mark, not the guy behind. The left back, right? That would have been like, no, it wasn't like you. Who was it?
Kevin?
It would have been, well, why was like you in the center? He's the left guy. Who would have got the last guy?
That's what I'm saying. I think it was Reyes that pushed up to meet him to kind of pressure him. But that's also another thing. Why is Reyes almost playing right back? I understand you have to cover Kevin Alvarez's spot, But why was there no one else down there with them?
Wait, Reyes wasn't there. Oh, Israel Reyes.
Right, Israel Reyes, right. Israel Reyes, right.
So who's the guy that's running down with the guy behind?
I'm not too sure.
No, it wasn't Sendejas, right?
I'm not too sure. I had to look back at the replay.
Yeah, yeah, but still, it's like...
The goal shouldn't have happened. You're in between two defenders. You're two guys right there. How is the one guy in the middle? No one tracking him, by the way. No communication whatsoever. Oh, guys, he's coming in. Oh, guys, watch out. There's a guy trailing. None of it. No awareness from nobody. And unfortunately...
And that one I blame Araujo. If I'm being honest with you, that one I do blame Araujo.
Of course.
For me, you have to blame Araujo. Why are you so focused on the guy behind you? When, mind you, you might not even know there's someone behind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's someone in front of you, though. You do know that. And it's like, he reacts there so late. And it's like, for me, bro, like hurry up, pack your stuff, and go to Greece, bro. Like, I'm done, bro. Like, it was supposed to be... Remember when we signed him, he's supposed to fix these issues.
Right.
But anytime we sub him in, we're getting scored on. Like, right. What's the point of you being in, you know, and I see conspiracies, you know, where they say, like, it's because his whole family's Chivas fans. I like to believe that there's people that are professional, right? Yeah, I like to believe that there's people that are professionals, right? But you do start to question, like, bro, how do you play consistently in Europe?
Right.
And you come back over here.
And he was actually pretty decent in Europe.
He was decent. He was a consistent starter, bro. And it's like, oh my god, like what are you doing, bro? Like you're a veteran. He's the oldest guy in the center back room, if I'm not mistaken, right? So he should be the leader, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's pack your bags, go. Like I'm ready for either Cesar Montes, right, who we've been rumored, or a veteran a center back that's Brazilian that's gonna yell at everybody, bro. Because that's what we need, someone that's either super talented. Or has that leadership that's vocal, you know? And like, it's just super annoying how that goal happened. And part of me kind of knew. Once I seen that sub, I'm like, this is a Leon game all over again. This is where Araujo comes in and there's a goal and we tie up. And I think that game was 2-2 also.
Honestly, and I know maybe it's unfair for me to say this, but honestly, when I saw Layun coming in as well, I just kind of had little faith in anything that might have happened in the near future, even more when the Araujo came in. It just didn't paint to be a good thing. And it's, I think I remember one play where Layun kind of was letting no man's land, and he was trying to mark the right winger, and he just stands there, just let him go by. Thankfully, Cáceres was there to kind of cut off the play. But it's just little plays like that on a better team, on another night, it's just better teams are going to punish you for that. But my thing is also, Jardine also, the subs are starting to become extremely questionable. The tactics to close out games are becoming extremely questionable. And, you know, these are things that I kind of brought up when Jardine was first rumored for America, which I'm not going to lie. Honestly, you guys convinced me to kind of give him a chance and kind of stick with him. And I'm still going to stick. I'm not saying that let's fire him. But these are the things that I was worried about, that he doesn't have that mentality to be an America coach just yet. Maybe we haven't seen it yet. It's too premature. I understand. We played two league games and four games of this Mickey Mouse tournament. I understand that's why I'm not saying we'll fire him. But you're starting to see flashes of a coach that, you know, isn't used to this. And maybe you could, whatever you say, yes, he went to Brazil with the Olympics. It's something completely different, you know?
It's a youth academy, right? It's a youth tournament. Like,
exactly.
It's different when you have an assignment and you put younger players to learn your assignment, right?
Right.
And this is like veteran players that have their specialties, right?
So
you got to fit.
You got to learn how to, like,
adapt to them.
Adapt to, right.
There's another thing.
And get the best out of
Sendejas,
it.
Right? We talk about Sendejas. There's a game where Sendejas trying to cut in the commentators say, oh, Jardinez yelling at Sendejas for going in too much. He should play wide. That's when you know he's not aware, or maybe he is aware and is trying to force something. Sendejas is better when he cuts in, not when he plays wide.
Yeah, of course. We've seen this Sendejas score goals like that.
Yeah, and he's really known. He's Robin from Bayern Munich, right? Back in the day. Remember the memes that they used to make that all his goals were run straight, cut in, shoot with his left? And
but it worked for him, right? Exactly.
And Sendejas is very similar, right?
Exactly.
So for me, like understand their specialties, not try to enforce. Mind you, maybe it's a headache or it's a little bumpy road, and eventually we're gonna get a clear road where everyone just understands each other and we start seeing games, right? It could happen, but at the same time, it's like if like they say, if it works, what is it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not broken. Don't do some other stuff, right? I don't know, man. I don't have an issue with Jardinet that much, but I am starting to question something. And it's the tech, because like I told Ivan a few weeks back, before all this started, I told him, look, one thing that's for sure is that our attack, we have the depth, and it doesn't matter who's out there, you know, like we're going to score goals because everyone's capable of doing that. Now, if they suddenly don't become capable of doing that, well, it isn't because of them. I'll say that.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, 94th minute, or actually not 94, it was like 98 or 99 at that moment. It's 2-2, and the ref says, we're not playing no more. We're just going straight to the gate. At that moment, it's like, honestly, at that point, I can't even show you the timestamp or anything. In my other group chat where they were talking about the game, I said, I don't care about the result. I really don't care if we win or lose at this moment. It's just like, this result or this game, how it played out, it shouldn't have happened, because I don't care if you don't have Cabecita. I don't care if you don't have 100% Diego. I don't care that you don't have Henry Martin. With the players that were available, we shouldn't have struggled as much as we did with this team. But here we are, penalty time, and you know, we have a great start, right? Quiñones once again slots his home, and Malagón comes up big for us and saves the first one. So at this moment, you're feeling good. And then, you know, Layún is up. And I knew it when he stepped up. I always had a bad feeling about it. And please, Layún, shut me up. Make me regret everything I'm about to say right now. And he misses the PK, right? So now we're back to even square, whatever, you know, going through the motions. We make. And what do you know, right? At that moment, when Mayer misses it, Malagón saves it, we're in the quarterfinals, right? Everyone's celebrating. Fans are running onto the field. We think that everything is good. Leagues Cup tweets it out. America tweets it out. Nashville tweets it out. Everyone's tweeting out that we have won the game. You look back at the replay. The linesman that was there, besides the goal line, didn't say anything. The ref didn't say anything. And out of nowhere, we're all celebrating. And we see that the ref starts signaling players back to replay the penalty. I'm not too sure if I heard a whistle after Malagón saved it, but I'm pretty sure if a whistle was blown, then that signals the end of the game, like no matter what.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that?
No, I believe that's how it works. If
someone in the chat can kind of correct me, or if someone else can correct me, I really don't want to give out false, but I'm pretty sure
once the ref blows, I believe that's right. I believe
right?
That.
It's the same thing the end of the game.
The same thing when they can't check VAR once the play restarts or restarts. Right, like let's say there's a foul and it goes out, they can't check that foul unless like once the play already starts. So
right, yeah.
I would assume it's the same thing.
I want to go back to see if I heard a whistle or anything. But it seems like the call came from upstairs. And as shady as this tournament's been, because let's not pretend that this tournament hasn't been shady. From the beginning, the call comes from upstairs, and it seems like Malagón stepped off his line. Both feet are off the line the moment that the PK was taken. And we had to replay the penalty. You know, Nashville converts the penalty. And on the following one, Jonathan Dos Santos decides to kind of bring a little finesse to the thing, and didn't work out for him. It's the crossbar, they miss, and then he misses, and then Nashville needs the goal to win, and Malagón guessed right. Unfortunately, a little too low, though. The ball went high. Nashville scores. They're through. We're out, and just like that, because we went from celebrating to packing our bags, and we're going back to Mexico. I don't know if you want to share any 2 cents on the whole referee VAR thing, or if you want to leave it at that.
We could get into it, brother. We don't have to even talk about this game only. We could talk about the whole tournament. Like it's suspicious, brother. And here's the thing. I'm not the type of guy to really say stuff like that because then it kind of kills the whole purpose of watching sports. But it's to me, it's like, you said, the game is over. Everyone's celebrating. People are jumping in from the stands, right? And you're able to call, like, they even tweeted it out and everything. And you're able to, like, say, oh, no, you have to restart it. Because, mind you, I don't even know if the whole he stepped out of the line thing, if it was legit or not. But my point is, the game's over, right? In games, there's stuff that you miss and there's stuff that you don't miss. If you miss that, that's on you. The game's over, right? So for me, it's just like, okay, the game's over. If it is the right call, it doesn't matter. The game's over, right? And that's where I just have an issue. Like, it just to me is just, and we could get, like I said, we could get into the whole tournament. Like, I'm not the type of person to be talking about league rivalries because for me, like, I'm not rooting for a consistent rival to the title inside my league for someone that I don't even care about. Like, these teams, I don't care for you. Like, we're never going to play. We might not ever play again. You know, type of feeling. But, like, man, this is just such a fishy tournament. Very, like, you know, luckily for us, first, second, and third gets a pass to CONCACAF Champions League, which we already have, right? So, realistically, these players were just playing for just another bigger paycheck, right, per se. For us, hopefully, like, all I want is give me whoever the three teams end up going in, beat us those teams, because I'll tell you this, they come to El Azteca, they are not going to survive.
Of course.
Whoever they are, right, if they're MLS teams, they're Mexican teams, like, they're not going to survive playing us at home. This whole tournament was just super fishy, bro. Me and Ivan kind of had this, like, up and down argument about, if it's a glorified friendly tournament, it's a legit tournament, it's this and that. The way everything was just moving, it's just like, it's hard for me to not question things, right?
All right.
It's an attraction. It's like the whole MLS All-Star games. Like, it's like, it doesn't really matter because it's like, okay, it doesn't matter, you know? And that's just how I feel. If they were to move this tournament into a long year where we're in groups and we have to go visit them and they kind of have to come and visit us, then you could have a real debate. But when you're having this fishy, only the other the country
best,
has
the best teams are on one side of the bracket and then
all
the weaker teams per se are on the other side of the bracket.
There wasn't even a lottery or what's it called? A sorteo.
Okay, I'm gonna put you guys with this guy, with this guy. Yeah. And then once these result, you'll play these guys, you know, we'll finicate everything.
Put into perspective, bro, and I'll talk about other teams, right? León had to go to Canada, Vancouver, and then come all the way down to LA and play Galaxy.
How does that
make sense? I told my dad this too. My homie's argument was, oh, well, the idea is dope because immigrants they get to see their teams. And I told him, bro, they put the biggest teams, America and Chivas, in Ohio and Missouri. Respect to anyone that's over there. But if you're doing this for sales and tickets, you're not putting them over there where you put the Mexican national team in World Cup qualifiers because they don't sell. They don't have the away team for fans, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just so much, bro, that I just don't like.
So if you were going to make this game also in the U.S., here's another solution, which could have been done. So you have three teams. You have Columbus, America, and St. Louis. Pick a damn city and play all the games in that one stadium.
Yes.
How hard was it to do that?
Yes.
You pick the higher-ranked MLS team, and they get the chance to play in their stadium for both games. I don't care. But why do we have to travel every single time? You're making everyone travel every single city. Like you said, you're going from Canada to LA. That's ridiculous.
And like I said, the León situation too. They had to miss a game because of the League's Cup messing up their flight or something like that. Their hotels. Yeah. I don't know what it was. But it's like, come on, man. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I get it. It's an attraction. I'm obviously like, we could all agree to disagree. But part of me is saying, you know what? This, they just want Messi playing this tournament, winning it. People are going to say, how they just signed him. They were in talks with him for 3 years. You're telling me they didn't have an idea when he was going to be free from PSG? Obviously, they had an idea. David Beckham was very vocal that he was going to try to bring Messi once he became an owner. Like, obviously, like I said, to each their own. A lot of people are not going to agree with me. A lot of people might. It's all theories in the end of the day. But like I said, if it smells like fish, it's because it's fishy or whatever. I'm making up a saying, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, there really isn't, I guess, meaning to whatever we're saying, because our team is out, unfortunately. We bow out in the round of 16. Definitely not the placing we've hoped for. I don't know. From just based off the games that we've played, I guess we'll turn this into a little bit of a recap. Maybe we'll have another podcast with a couple of the other guys talking about the whole tournament. But just, I guess, quickly, how did you view the team throughout the tournament?
So I saw the team different each game. I don't know if you
that's feel weird, the same way. I had the same idea.
Yeah, because you're going to the St. Louis game, right? And it's still a tough, like a tough team, right?
They're number first one.
Looked amazing, bro. Passes and mind you, there's still a little of those like hesitation. We could have easily scored 7 in that game, to be honest. But
you see, the Columbus game now.
Yeah. And then you get into the Columbus game and you start to understand, okay, they figured us out. They know we're going to do these short passes. What are they going to do? Pressure us, right? My memory's kind of blurry, but I remember.
Also, Jordan Lee did a lot of substitutions because we were already in.
Substitutions, we were already in. He put in Layun, he put in Araujo, and they were awful. You know, like Henry Martin came in second half and it was just, you know, it wasn't necessarily great, right? Okay, whatever. We came second. And to be honest with you, it was probably best for us to come in second because we ended up playing in Chicago, which is more of a hometown than the hometown team, you know? So for me, I wasn't necessarily mad. I'm like, cool, go send Columbus to Minnesota because, you know, I'm pretty sure we would have been more of an away team over there than in Chicago. We're playing Chicago, and then in Chicago, I feel it was a game we should have dominated. The Henry Martin injury before the game starts, it's kind of, maybe you have an excuse there, right? You could sit here and kind of say, well, you kind of see the offense isn't the same without Henry and Valdez, right? Quiñones can't do it all. And okay, we could throw in those arguments. Quiñones' goal was completely in, right? Completely in. That was like, another questionable thing.
3 goals.
Yeah,
the 2 in Columbus and then the 1 in Chicago.
Yes. So like it's not excuses. It's just so much BS that we had to go through in this tournament. And that the Chicago game, Quiñones is in. They don't even check VAR. I tweeted out the first VAR check, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but the first VAR check was the Messi goal against who was it? Whoever they played. But that was the first time they used it, and now they're starting to use it. And it's like, come on, bro. You can't sit here and tell me the stuff like that's not fishy. Like you know, I know there's people that are probably just like, oh, you're just coming up with excuses. Cool, you know. I don't lose sleep losing this tournament.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Like, the winner is going to get a pass to a tournament we already have a pass.
Exactly. So winning this tournament didn't mean much to us.
No, it didn't.
And we were going to win $2 million. That's honestly a shit pay. Yeah. So, you know, I think I saw a tweet where I think the winners of Sudamericana or like people who advance in the Sudamericana later rounds get paid like triple or even quadruple of what the winner of Europa League is going to get.
And that's their Europa League.
And that's their Europa League. Now imagine Libertadores.
Yeah, so it's like...
At the end of the day, we can have a podcast and we should probably have Brian on the podcast.
Yes.
Just talking about just the Football Federation, the Mexican Football Federation, I'm sorry. And just all like the fishy scandals and what this tournament actually means, which could be an interesting talk. Maybe we'll have to set it up one day now that we're not going to have America for 2.5 weeks or even maybe close to 3 weeks at this point. So we'll see if we can kind of set that up, because it'd be kind of interesting to get different perspectives of what this actually means for Liga MX, for MLS, and just the future of our tournament, because it's just, you know, just things aren't going in an upward trend. You're not going to tell me that you created a 14 tournament with CONMEBOL and that's going in the right direction. You know, that's just to satisfy everyone that's insane. Let's go back to Libertadores because we want to play teams from South America. We just think that the Libertadores is a better tournament to participate in. It exposes us to better competition. You're playing bigger teams. And it's just the overall better tournament. Atmosphere, everything. Then, everything was so much better when we were in Libertadores.
I don't League's Cup. Like, the idea isn't that bad.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but it needs to be formatted differently, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Let it be like a Copa del Rey or like an FA Cup, you know? Play. You can have single direct elimination tournaments throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. I don't care.
The tournament around, like games around, you know, a whole year, like you said. Right. And
there's different ways to integrate with MLS, which I'm not opposed to, because like you said, it gives chance for Mexican fans in the US to kind of go see their team, which is a cool thing to me. But when you're forcing a Mickey Mouse tournament like this, where it's so heavily one-sided and, you know, we're not benefiting at all from this. There's just no point.
We lost players from all the players battles, injured.
Lost Barterame for the rest of the year.
Yeah, bro. Bad field. Like it is bad for us, bro. Mind you, like this could have been done during Copa Oro, for example, right? We're gonna get a little touchy on the national team, which isn't what we cover. But the whole purpose of more games is so youngsters could get more opportunities. Then why don't you do it when all the call-ups are all with their national teams, right? Now you're kind of forced teams to say, you have to take this serious, go and play whoever, you know, like whoever you got to play. But how do you do that when it's like, oh, we're going to pause the leagues? One league is already mid-season. The other one barely started, you know, and so, you know, it's just, I don't know, bro. It's just a lot. And the travel, like, a lot of players, Diego Reyes came out and said it, Henry Martin came out, a lot of players came out. Even Carlos Vela, who plays here, said it. It's a disadvantage to the Mexicans.
Of course.
You know, course. So it's, and like, the players are aware. It's not like they're clueless. They from both sides, they know what's up with it.
The only, well, actually, yeah, but let me not say that, but yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement here. I honestly don't care if we sound like haters or anything. I'm going to tell you personally, on record, on stream, I'm not losing sleep over this loss. I know my team should have played better. It's just very, very awkward how everything ended. But whatever, you know, we're gonna go back to Mexico probably in the next couple of days. Maybe the players get a little bit of rest. You know, they've been traveling a lot. Haven't seen their families in about a couple of weeks. So, you know, they'll probably get some time to kind of rekindle, regroup, regain everything just happened. But then it's back to work, and we'll talk about it more when we get closer to resuming league play, but maybe me and you can get on sometime during this week or even next week discussing what this team still needs, because I don't care what anyone says around Liga MX or even around the whole CONCACAF region. Adding Kevin Alvarez and Julian Quiñones didn't make us like front runners, like clear winners to win everything, because we knew that didn't solve everything. We needed another left back, and we knew we needed another striker. And we knew we needed another center back. We took care of one problem.
I think we could have a debate. Oh, my bad. But
we took care of one, which was the right back, because obviously we didn't have a right back. Lara and Layun were not it. We needed a left back. Chava Reyes and Luis Fuentes, they're not it either. And then our center backs. Very inconsistent. Israel Reyes and Sebastian Cáceres. And then one that continually shit the bed in Nelson Araujo. And then a backup striker for Henry Martí.
I think that's debatable that it makes
in us what front way?
Front runners. I think it did make us front runners, if I'm being honest.
I didn't see that, honestly.
Like I said, maybe because
because you guys, you and Ivan both said that Konekinos wasn't even needed. That's more of a luxury signing for us.
Yeah, it's a luxury.
Exactly. So that didn't really add or do anything, because if, you know, if we're being honest, our attack our offense wasn't the problem. It was always the defense.
Yeah.
And we had three sections to take care of. We took care of one. We're missing two. We're in
talks. You want to know an unpopular opinion?
What's up?
Kevin Olivares on the defensive side does not help either.
I actually like Kevin Olivares' defense. I think the only problem with him, though, is what we saw in the second Nashville goal is that maybe
he plays too high.
He didn't judge that moment of the game where he should have just stayed back and let whatever do whatever. And you know, that left the open mark, which is something maybe he's gonna have to work on. But I do like that he brings more of an offensive threat when Miguel Ayun had one good cross out of 100 per game, and Emilio Lara just is not a right back, and he is god awful at right back. And honestly, a high school team can get behind him with no problem. So I honestly think Kevin Evans was definitely needed for this team.
Oh, he was definitely needed. But what I'm saying, I don't think he helps the defense as much as he from, in my opinion, bro, and maybe this, I don't know if it's a hot take, but I think when it comes to Mexican right backs, they're all liabilities when it comes to defense. I think you see it that they do struggle. Every single one of Jorge Sanchez, you know, who we had. Julian Araujo, who we were linked to, you know, and it just shows that, you know, and like they're all very bad. When Kevin hasn't given me that right to say that he's really, really bad. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's a strong suit.
And that first national goal, who do you blame on that goal?
Which one?
On the first Nashville goal.
National?
The Nashville goal.
Nashville. The first goal, I blame... Didn't we say it was Cáceres and Malagón?
Center back. The second goal.
Yeah, no, I agree,
Who do you blame on that second goal the most?
Araujo.
Center back.
Yeah. No, I get you. But remember, you also said that he was too high.
Right, I know. I said
so that. Maybe the full blame isn't on him, but
the center back position has been a problem for us for so many years now, and it just seems we can't get it right.
Cesar Montes.
I'm all in. You guys know how much I love Cesar Montes.
Yeah, no.
So even with Monterrey, I love the player.
And then, I'm being honest with you, when people say leave him in Europe, I get it. He's that talented, but I'm selfish. But I'm selfish. I'm selfish. If he's an option for us, come over.
We haven't won the league in 5 years. That's a problem. Yep. Bring in who you can, and let's go win the league, because this is getting a little ridiculous, honestly. But like I said, though, me and you can have another talk regarding transfer talk, because I think that's something we like to kind of indulge upon and try to see how to make this team better. But hopefully we can set one up in these coming weeks. We're not gonna have anything to talk about regarding America, gameplay. We'll keep in touch on that. Any final thoughts before we head out?
No, bro. I mean, I think we kind of said everything. I think, like I said, it's not that we're mad. I know it sounds we're passionate. The way we're talking, we're very passionate, but we're not mad. We're just very annoyed when it comes to this. Because to me, like you said, if they whistle the bell, the game's over, and America needs to pass through. It didn't happen, and it's like, well, now we're kind of bending the rules for what, for who, for what? And then you see the whole tournament, how it's going. I get it. Like, don't waste our time. Like,
I saw a tweet saying that if Mexican teams are gonna get fucked, we'd rather be in Libertadores and Sudamericana than this league's cup thing.
Yeah, and I like how you're cussing, bro, because I don't think Ivan's gonna bleep us.
Completely. Yeah, I don't care what Ivan thinks. Ivan, you can fire me. So you listen to Ivan saying that I threw a little cuss words in there.
I remember one time we did a space, bro, and someone commented, "This is the first time I heard Ivan say a bad word." That's why for me,
you guys know Ivan's usually the one that keeps us in check, which I appreciate from him, because maybe it's something you could get carried away with our words. But since he's not here, I'm gonna take advantage of it.
There's no complaint from me, but if he listens to this,
that's the feeling around all of Mexico, and maybe even some MLS players, our fans think about the whole tournament with this simple comments. I'll leave it up right there. So that's it, man. Thank you for coming on, joining me in this kind of out of nowhere spontaneous podcast to talk about America Unfortunately, our run ends here in the round of 16 against Nashville. Hopefully, we have some news for everyone regarding America next couple of days. I know there's some transfers being ready to be wrapped up. Hopefully, we get more information on a couple players coming in. Hopefully, maybe not just one because we need a couple. Everything will be talked about on our Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. But thank you guys for joining us, and have a good night, guys. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.